This is Tara Morgan of Voice of Vashon Radio, Vashon Island. This month, Portland-based Glitter Fox is bringing their queer rock anthems, tinged with soul-wrenching lyrics and out-of-body dance rhythms, to Vashon's Snapdragon Cafe. I had a chance to sit down with band founders and married couple Solange Agoa and Andrea Walker to talk songwriting, touring, and what makes a band for the ages. Glitter Fox is presented by Deborah Heesch. On Thursday, March 28th at 8 p.m., tickets are $20 at glitterfoxvashon.brownpapertickets.com. All ages welcome. Voice of Vashon is sponsored in part by Windermere Real Estate, Cafe Vino Olio, and Come On Barber. Thanks to all our underwriters and donors for your support.
Hi, I'm Andrea Walker.
And I'm Solange Goa from Glitter Fox.
And you're listening to
Voice of Vashon Radio. I don't
know what to feel. Hey, how's it going?
I'm super excited to talk to you guys. I just recently discovered you thanks to Deborah Heesch, who's bringing you here. I don't know why I've missed this party train for so long, and I can't wait to see you in live in person. I just was at a show at Snapdragon where you're going to be performing, and I kind of can't wait to hear the sound in that space. It's a really intimate space. People are going to be bouncing and excited and dancing, so it'll be really fun. So I'm talking to y'all ahead of your Squeaky Clean tour stop here at Snapdragon on Vashon on March 28th. And to help our listeners get to know you a little bit better, I wanted to ask you some quick questions. So okay. We'll go Solange and then Andrea. Acoustic or electric?
Electric.
Electric, always.
A song on your desert island soundtrack.
Okay, something by Aurora.
Mine would be like anything 80s, anything new wave. It sort of think of like a specific song. Oh, no, there's this song by Erasure. Anything 80s, new wave.
House concert or big venue?
Oh, man. Both for different reasons. I can't decide.
Okay.
I can. Big venue. I love like hot, dark, sweaty clubs.
Gotcha. Well, Snapdragon's going to be kind of a hybrid situation of that.
So yeah.
That'll be fun.
Oh, yeah. We're adaptable.
Okay. Instrument of choice.
Piano.
Your voice, too.
Well, yeah, my voice, duh.
Yeah. Guitar. Electric guitar.
What's a must-have on tour?
Baby wipes.
Nutella.
What's a favorite venue that you've performed in?
Probably Crystal Barn.
Yeah, and here in Portland, and it's incredible. We love the Sunset Tavern. We played there in Seattle and we're coming back.
Dream collaboration.
Well, the first one that comes to my head is Tom Petty.
Can't like happen. Us with Tom Petty.
Yeah.
Us with Tom Petty's ghost.
Maybe in another life.
With Tom Petty's ghost. Mm-hmm. I love Sharon Van Etten so much. Yeah.
Cool. Awesome. So can you tell us the origin of Glitter Fox?
Oh, yeah. Well, Solange and I met in Long Beach, California back in 2012. And it was just kind of like, it was one of those really neat things where I was a songwriter. I was actually writing a lot of like folk music, but I could play guitar. I could play guitar, right? I'd actually gotten a degree in music. And I was writing some songs, and some of them were half decent. And there was a party at my house, and Solange came with some friends, and Solange was singing all night, and I was just struck by how powerful and beautiful their voice was, and just kind of like made it my mission to like find them and to like start a band with them, because yeah. I didn't know them at all. They just came to the party, but yeah, I just really made it my mission to like find that person, and we started running into each other around Long Beach. And pretty soon we were going to the same open mic. And one night I was just like, hey, do you want to come over to my house and play some songs together? And I think we should make a band. And Solange just kind of came over and then never left. And that was like almost 12 years ago.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, my follow-up to that was, what was it like? Because Solange, I'm a huge fan of your voice. I just think so unique and so strong and so big. And I understand your range is pretty wide as well. So I just wonder what that was like to hear that for the first time for Andrea.
Oh, what was it like? Oh, yeah. I mean, Solange, I mean, this is like Long Beach, California, and there's like open mics.
Circa 2012.
And it was like Solange had this voice that even back then,
like, it's not as good as it
could just silence the room. Like, if Solange was singing, like, the room would just absolutely just be awestruck. And like, anytime Solange had a guitar and was singing, like, people just noticed. And when I heard that voice, I just never heard anything like it. I'd never in my entire life. I was like 30 and I had just never
I was 21
all of my life heard
just a baby.
I know. I had just never in my entire life heard a voice like that. That was so powerful and so confident, but then also like so sweet too.
Yeah. Solange, have you always sung? Have you always had music in your life? And did you have any, like, I feel like it's got a very gospel type of background, or it's a very unique sound. When did you find your voice?
Well, I definitely have been singing my whole life. I like don't really remember ever not singing. Like, I've always just been really interested in it. I used to pretend to be like different Disney princesses and like force my brother to like push me on the merry-go-round. I'm like, not too fast, but not too slow. I need the wind blowing in my hair so I look like Pocahontas, the whole thing. You know, I started in like doing some choir here and there at school. And then also my dad was in this band growing up my whole life, a Basque band. My family's Basque. And so I got a little bit of a start. I would come up and sing one verse and one chorus of a Basque song up with the band. And also my mom growing up had a karaoke business. So I would also do like karaoke every Thursday.
Wow. Nice.
So nice. Yeah, I've just kind of always sang. And I remember like in elementary school, I would like sign my signature for people, and I'd write like, was a good year, save this for when I'm famous.
so you always knew that music would be a part of your life and you would be a performer, but definitely here in a lot of your music. I wanted to ask about your roles in the band. I know there's a lot that goes into being in a band, and I understand from another podcast I listened to that Andrea, you do a large majority of the songwriting, and then I would imagine you collaborate on song arranging. And then I know Solange, you're really into the artistry of it. And I want to ask you about Highway Forever. But first, I just want to find out, how do you split up the roles and how does the band work?
Like, as a writer, like, I love writing. And it's kind of the only thing I do. Like, I'm always working on a song. Some songs take a long time. Some songs, like Highway Forever, I was probably working on that for 6 or 9 months. TV, Drive, those songs all took like 6 or 9 months to really finish. So yeah, I love writing. It's definitely like my passion. So I try to always be writing. But I will say Solange will pull out a banger. We have this kind of joke that Solange writes like one banger a year, but it's like a banger. And also, like, we really collaborate well together. Like, for instance, I'll write a song and Solange will be like, everything's great. I don't like those lyrics. Can you change that line? I just trust Solange. If Solange is like, that sounds silly or that. And also melodically, I feel like a lot of times when I give you a song, like, you'll improve the melodies, you'll tweak the melodies, you'll make them your own. And also, there's a lot of co-collabing with, we've started involving Eric and Blaine a bit more with which is our bandmates. We started involving them
all do kind of like arranging together.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And then Eric is really helpful. Like, Eric's like the closer is what I call him. He like is really good at like helping you finish a song. So I love involving him with stuff. I mean, the last song that I did, the whole chorus is because he started singing this line and I was like, oh yeah, that's great. But what if it went like this? So like we kind of both wrote the chorus of that song together.
Mm-hmm. And so, which song is that?
Oh, there's a new one. It's called Waiting For. Oh,
yeah,
it's
we have
not recorded yet.
We have a live
video. Kind of like a little disco vibe.
So yeah, we've been playing with Eric for, gosh, I think 5 years now. He's been in the band with us. Like, it was just the three of us for a while. But there's a very comfortable, collaborative relationship. And
I will say, too, that, like, we have this thing that the three of us, especially with songwriting, we all have this thing where, like, we can kind of be, like, almost not brutal, but, like, we can be really honest with each other.
Oh, yeah.
And it's mostly it's, like, I know that you can write better lyrics than this, or I know that you can make up a better melody than this. And like, that's the kind of like input. And then we'll come back with something better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We definitely,
we're really comfortable with each other, like saying that sort of thing.
Yeah. We really trust each other, but I will say there are times also when someone will say, oh, I think you should do it this way. But then as the songwriter, like sometimes you do have to trust your gut and just be like, no, like, just trust me, like let's really try it this way. Because there will be times when, for instance, I'll bring an idea to the group and they'll be like, but then sometimes it will end up being the one we go with. It's just like, as a songwriter, I think you have to trust your partners and your collaborators and really, really take in their opinions and offer space for them to be creative within the song as well. But then also know when to like stick to your guns as well. And I think it's a balance between those things.
Yeah. And I definitely, I hear a lot in your lyrics on all of the songs is some struggle and triumph. And I would imagine the songwriting process for something that's really deeply personal. I just wonder what that experience is like to hand it off, whether Solange has written it or Andrea has written it, hand it off and say, let the collaborating begin, you know?
Yeah, that's such a good point, because every single song that we write is so deeply personal, and you're exactly right. There are these continuous themes of like of kind of struggling through things, and then ultimately like having some hope and finding a way to keep going. So yeah, it can be hard when you're trying to hand something over, and it's just like, oh man, I wrote that song about my mom dying. And I don't want to change the lyrics. I wrote that song about getting diagnosed with autism, and it's very personal. But I think the important thing in like a band is just like having patience and giving it that time. Cause like with Eric and Blaine and me and Solange, like we've all spent so much time together now that like we do really trust each other and we do really love each other. And like, we all have the same goal, which is to make the song the best that it can be.
And I will say too, it's just taken a lot of time to get comfortable, like to get to the point to where we're at now,
mm-hmm.
has taken since 2012.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be Andrew would hand me a song and sing it exactly this way that I wrote it.
Right.
And you cannot change it at all. And then eventually I'm like, well, I'm not a robot. I'm going to sing it. Yeah. How it's meant for my voice. If I'm singing it, I'm singing it. If you're singing,
like whether you choose a lower octave or a higher octave, or you go for, yeah, absolutely. I can hear the nuances in there and how you interpret different things.
Speaking to the octaves, it's like a thing that we do a lot. It's kind of like a joke at this point.
Oh yeah,
like I jump up the octave, but
it's sick.
I think that some of that did come from the fact that Andrea would be like, no, do this here. It's mm-hmm. not something that I would have done naturally. And it's taken a long time to get really comfortable. And like, I finally got a vocal coach in this last year.
Wow.
I've had like four or five sessions with him, and it's really helped with like singing up in that higher range.
Mm.
It's definitely a stretch for me to get up there. I can, but I can't live up there. So yeah, Andrea's definitely pushed me in that way.
Oh, yeah. Because when we started playing together, I was like, oh, my gosh, I've got this singer who can do anything in my mind. Solange can do anything. And so it was like, all these melodies that I'd been writing for so many years that like I had no chance of singing. I was like, oh, Solange can do it. And it was almost like I wanted to see how far we could push your voice, because in my mind, your voice can do anything.
And do you guys ever sing together? I've heard a couple tracks where you're singing together.
Yeah, Highway Forever, we're singing together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We go back and forth and then we harmonize a little. We used to do a lot more harmonies back in the day.
Yeah, yeah.
Back in the folky days. But I also like not really be that much of a front person. I used to be very much like so shy to the point where like my knees were like knocking together, like so nervous.
Yeah.
And it's very different now.
Yeah. I can hear that. I mean, I can hear the confidence for sure. I want to go back to the roles for just a second, because I know that Solange, you play a big part, the artistry and the presentation. And we're going to talk about Highway Forever in just a second and the video that came out. But what do you love about that side of being in this band and being able to do the costumes or being able to do the videos or the aesthetic of the band?
It's kind of like the same thing as my singing. I've always just naturally been very creative, and I've always been the type of person that will see somebody do something and then I think to myself, I could do that. And then I just do it until it looks good enough. I've been dying cutting my own hair since I was in high school, and also making clothes. Like, there's a lot of clothes out there that just like fit one body type. And so my grandmother was a seamstress. I grew up with her and she taught me a lot about sewing when I was younger. And so I still kind of like have a lot of that with me. And I've just been, I sew all the time. So at the beginning of the pandemic, like beginning of lockdown, I just decided I was going to make puppets and use like trash from around the house to make puppets. Well, I just like making stuff.
And also with your art, like there was 2 years that Solange and I lived in a van together. Mm-hmm. And so we'd be on these, like, I mean, we were trying to be musicians. We were like, all right, we're going to do this music thing. We're just going to live in a van. And we're going to drive around. And we're going to play wherever people will let us. And we're going to bus. And we're going to figure it out. But there was a lot of time of just like me driving and you being in the passenger seat. And so eventually it was like you started finding art and crafts to occupy yourself because you were just in the passenger. I always drove.
Passenger.
I was the driver for 2 years straight while we're living in a van. So Solange was the passenger princess. But that for me, in my mind, that's kind of when you really started doing art was like, but I guess it was kind of before you were painting.
I've always done stuff.
But that was a big time though. You're like making jewelry. Yeah. Solange is always making something 24 hours a day.
It's really bad for our one bedroom apartment.
Oh, just a lot of crafts.
A lot of craft. They take up a lot of space. Let's talk about Highway Forever. There's something unique about this song, which is I don't know if it's unique to your work overall, but I noticed this guitar solo from Andrea in this song. And I just want to ask about the writing of Highway Forever and then Solange, the video that came with it that you can see now on YouTube.
Yeah, it's cool that we were talking about something about living in a van, because that's the inspiration for Highway Forever. Solange and I are married. We've been together for nearly 12 years as musical partners and as a couple. And we love being on the road. We love touring. We just love having adventures together. And so I wrote this song, Highway Forever, about when you're on this like long drive and it's like late at night and it's raining and you're tired and you're just faded. You're so tired. You've been traveling from one city to the other, but then you have each other. And so you have this company, you have this element of home, even though you're traveling, you're on the road, but you have this element of home in your togetherness with each other. And then just the relief of when you finally pull into a town after a long drive and you've made it and there's like neon lights and stuff happening and that feeling of like safety and security and that sense of arrival once you get to a place. And with the writing of that song, I was about like 90% done with it. I had most of it, but then I only had, I think, like two lines of the chorus. And so that was definitely one where I pulled in Eric and Solange and I was like, look, guys, this song is almost there. Just help me get it across the finish line. And so we did work on the chorus together and come up with some lines together to get it finished. And then in the studio, we have a producer now, Chris Funk from the Decemberists. He's our manager too. He's really involved. He's the best. So it started with him as our producer, and now he's our producer and our manager. But he brought some really cool ideas of like, hey, you should try out this halftime idea in the verse. And you can hear that in verse two when it goes to the halftime, kind of like the band The Police. And then he was the one that said, hey, this song really needs a focal point. It needs like a shredder guitar solo to give the song this like emotional high point.
Did you even write that solo, or did you just come up with that in the studio?
So the solo, actually, me, Eric, and Blaine worked on the idea of the guitar solo when we were at a camp out. We were at a festival. And so we're just out in the woods sitting in camp chairs with a little acoustic guitar and just like kind of working it out together. But that was a big moment for me because I've always been like a finger style and really loved rhythm guitar. I've never fancied myself as this like lead guitar player, but I always knew that playing solos was something it was kind of like the final frontier of my playing. If I'm really going to be regarded as a talented guitar player, then I need to start ripping solos for people to recognize my playing ability.
I feel like it's kind of like similar to doing runs when you're singing or something. Like people hear it and they're like, automatically, they're like, oh, that's a good singer. That's mm-hmm. a good guitar player, because they can do solos, where it's like Andrea can do things that like all of these like boys cannot do. But then in these boys' heads, they think that they're like on par or like better than you. I'm like, Andrea's so good.
Yeah.
Went to school for like classical guitar.
I think like when you're a rhythm player or you're a fingerstyle player,
or you're not a dude,
your playing might not get the respect that, you know, that maybe others do. And so, but also I wanted to be a well-rounded player. I wanted to be well-rounded. And I knew
it's not that you couldn't, it's just that you never really were like that interested in it.
Yeah. I just wasn't super well. And also we didn't have a freaking drummer. There wasn't like a lot of space for me to be ripping solos, because I was having to hold down the rhythm. I was having to hold down so much.
You're holding down like the parts that the drums would be doing.
Yeah. So part of the soloing also is like, as our band has grown, we got a drummer, Blaine Heinonen, joined our band a year and a half ago. And he is just, I mean, we love him. He's incredible. He brings so much to the band. But yeah. Now that we have a drummer, it actually allowed me to have the space in the composition to like, okay, let's play a solo, you know? So I've been writing more in the newer stuff.
And I will say, when you did that, the solo in the studio, and me and I think Kaylee was there, Eric's wife, and we were just all in the
control room.
Yeah. And we were all like, oh, what the heck?
You
ripped it.
I ripped it. It was like the perfect moment, because we've been recording for a few days. So I was feeling really confident. I had drank a ginger beer, so I had like a lot of sugar in my system. Right. And I was like, let's go. And I felt on top of the world. And so then when the solo section of the song ended, it just felt so good. I just kept riffing. I just kept like riffing through the rest of the thing. And our engineer, Zach Bloomstein, he kept the tape rolling. And so then we were like, okay, we like this. Like, let's have the solo continue through the rest of the song. So I took two or three passes at it, and then we kind of piece together our favorite moments, and that's what ended up on the single. So it was really fun, and I just felt totally supported and encouraged by the whole band. But it was a big moment for me.
Yeah, I can tell. I think it's interesting, you've both alluded to coming from the back of the band to the front of the band. You've both sort of alluded to that, and sort of coming onto the stage a little bit further forward. So kudos.
I feel like our band, we're always growing, and we're always really pushing ourselves to continue growing. I mean, we push each other. We're really, really serious about continuing to just improve.
Yeah. And Solange, tell me about the music video for Highway Forever.
I'm obsessed with puppets. I really like puppets. I have a lot of puppets. one of my favorite puppets. Her name is Natasha. She's a very sassy lady. I always really loved the Muppets growing up. And I remember like a couple of years ago, when it clicked that like, oh, the Muppets are puppets. I didn't like.
That's didn't a big moment.
I was like, wait a minute. Miss Piggy's like a puppet, dude. Cause like, they're just so realistic and they have like their personalities. And so I was actually home alone with COVID while Andrea was on a cruise. And you were on a cruise. I had COVID. I was lonely. And I just decided that I was going to make puppets of the whole band. And I made all of our heads first. And then being very ADHD, I like hyper-focused on it for a long time. And then after I got done with the heads, I just like put it away. And then like 6 months went by. And then Kaylee, Eric's wife, has been helping me direct and produce our music videos. And so we kind of decided that Highway Forever was the song to do the puppets for. So then I took all of my stuff over to Eric and Kaylee's house. I finished all of our bodies. Kaylee actually watercolored little like landscapes that you see where like the van is driving.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's like a little cutout of a watercolor that Kaylee did on a stick. And then the background is this continuous background that she painted, and somebody was just dragging it while the van was moving like that.
Right.
And then we did a couple like green screen, stop motion clouds and all that stuff. I do very, very well with a crunch time.
Yeah.
So
yeah, me too.
I thrive in chaos.
So I understand I read a little fun fact about that video that each band member got to operate their own puppet of themselves. Is that true?
Yes.
Yeah.
There was only a couple of moments where I did the puppets, like where they're laying in the grass with the flowers on their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
I operated them for that short period. And also I did a little bit of Andrea's lip syncing in the rearview mirror, but everything else was all of us doing our own puppets.
Yeah, it kind of gave.
Eric's puppet had some really good dance moves, which is funny because Eric's actually a really good dancer in real life as well.
Oh, so he's able to translate it.
To his puppet.
Nice. Okay, I want to talk about La Da Da. I love that song so much. I listen to it, the acoustic version and the fully produced version. I play it for every client that comes in. I'm a barber on the island, so come by, see my barbershop when you're on the island. I play it for everybody. I'm like, no, you don't understand. Have you heard this? So I play it all the time for people. It's just, there's something about it. I love a good drive song, a good anthem song, it just has everything I love. And your voice is insane in that song. And I got a fan for a moment about that, because I know that's one of your bangers, right?
Yeah, that's one of my bangers.
That's one of your bangers. Yes. So can you tell me how that song came to be?
I wrote it. It's kind of, it feels like so long ago. I think I wrote it when we were still living in Long Beach, California.
Oh, wow.
After we moved out of the van, there was quite an amount of like repair we had to do, like for our mental health, just two people that already struggle with like a lot of mental health and neurodivergence, living in a van together with two dogs for 2 years. You know, it was really intense after living in the van. Like, we actually lived apart for 7 months. We each had our own like rooms that we rented across town from each other. It was hard because like not knowing what they were doing, like that was like a whole adjustment.
Yeah.
We had to kind of become our own people again. And so, yeah, I just like wrote it in a time where I was like, I felt like I couldn't really trust my perceptions of things because they were so like out of whack. And so that's the whole idea of like, I don't know who to be. There's a me I've yet to meet. And like all of those ideas, like, I don't know what I see. It all looks different to me. That's like about my perception. And like, and then the La Da Da part is just kind of feeling like lost for words. And so I was like, well, I don't know what to say. So I'm just going to say this, and it works.
I can definitely relate to that feeling of that sort of untethered feeling when your whole life has been so heavily influenced. All your decisions were made with this person or and that, and then all of a sudden it's different. And they say that you're actually like re-hardwiring your brain when you have that kind of separation.
Completely.
Yeah. And I think that I really related to that in the song, but I love that song. I gotta be real. It's just, I don't know. There's something about it. Like I would be the one in the front row at the show. Just like,
I can't wait. I'm so excited.
Fully immersed. Can't wait. I keep thinking, I can't wait for the sound bath that will be Glitter Fox on me.
I love the way that it was like, the way that Chris Funk produced it. And then it was kind of like Andrea and Chris Funk both at the same time kind of had this idea. They were like, oh, what if we kind of did this like Pixies, Where's My Mind kind of a vibe? Like,
yes,
grunge, like a 90s grunge
theme in the studio. That's how we perform it live now. And I love it. So fun.
I was absolutely feeling Mazzy Star, Pixies, like absolutely cool. Feeling it. And I'm like, those are my people. Those are my people. So yes. I love it.
Yeah, like probably like a long time before we actually went in the studio, I get like inspired, like just different. Like it's really weird, but like, it's going to sound silly, but like, honestly, I'll just be laying in bed. It'll be 2 a.m. I'll just be laying in bed. And then all of a sudden this thought will come in my head that's like, Andrea, you need to go buy a fuzz pedal. So this was like one of those things where I was like, this idea came, just shot got in my head where it was like, go buy a fuzz pedal and fuzz out la-da-da. Because like the song, you've heard the original. It's like super sweet coffee shop acoustic. It's super sweet. But this idea came. And so I found this guitar pedal that Billy Corgan from Smashing Pumpkins helped develop to try to give it this like very like vintage 90s.
Yes. Achieved. Absolutely. Yeah.
And then what was so cool is when
Chris Funk actually played that guitar solo.
Yeah. And that guitar solo.
So nasty. I love it.
It's very cool. I think. Yeah.
And then it was cool because, and this is a place for our bandmates, Eric and Blaine, like letting them be creative and letting them get their ideas in there too. It was like, Eric wrote that like Bananas bass line that starts after the bridge. Mm. Like that was all Eric. And then Blaine's drums on that track are just amazing. And he's like, yeah, I was like going back to my like playing in a garage as a teenager. And we took the front head off of the drums as well to just really try to give it that like 90s sound.
I want to ask you about genre and musical influences. You were featured in Bluegrass Situation. I'm a bluegrass fan. Where do the Southern roots come in? Where does the Southern folk music come in? Bluegrass crossover. I'm just personally interested in that. And I think it really shines through in a number of the songs.
Yeah, absolutely. I lived in the South until I was 28, save for a couple years in Arizona, a couple quick years there. And so I do think that Americana song structures, vibes, like that's always going to be part of our DNA. I got an electric guitar in 2000. We definitely have this indie rock cocktail where we're diving into electric influences, but we'll always have the Americana.
And I think that over the last couple of years, expanding our idea of like what Glitter Fox is helps me be able to like feel like my songs make more sense in the mix, because I don't write very Southern sounding songs. I feel like I write more pop leaning songs. Like I've got a huge musical theater influence, and so it kind of opens up the space for me to feel like my songs belong a little bit more.
You've both mentioned a couple times having autism and one having ADHD, and I have seen you described as a queer neurodivergent married couple making music, was a in quotes there. I wanted to ask about the added value or benefit of those features of yourselves in making music and making a life together.
I'd say that like, it helps a lot. Like, I think that that's where some of my, I can do anything comes from, and just totally diving into a project and I'm just going to do it. And I decide I'm going to do it. And then I do it. And then I think that like Andrea's special interest is music and music alone. And so that's your main focus in life, is just like music. But it also makes things really hard. We're starting to get more help with having Chris Funk and having a booking agent and having these people on our team now that are helping us, but we still don't quite have enough money to pay people to do the things that probably other people would be better at.
Well, it's like the adulting side of having a band.
The adulting side, like having, you know, needing to read emails and even just like posting stuff on like Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, YouTube, all the things, and keeping up with all that stuff and trying to do that well. It can be really hard for us just to get the simplest tasks accomplished in a day. Mm-hmm. Feels so hard to like just get a couple things done. And then at the end of the day, this world is not set up for people like us. So then at the end of the day, you can kind of get down on yourself feeling like, oh, I didn't get enough done. But I did more than I probably not should have, but more, I did more than what my capacity really was, but then still feeling kind of down on myself at the end of the day of like not being able to do as much as like a neurotypical person.
We're definitely pushing ourselves to our capacity and beyond
every day
on a daily basis. I was diagnosed with autism at the age of 41. I'm like, because masking my autistic traits, like growing up in the South, when you're queer and autistic, it's like you mask to survive. And so it's pretty wild. I found out we were getting a record deal and was diagnosed with autism on the same day.
Oh, yeah.
So we're constantly pushing ourselves to our capacity because like we love this. Like we love being musicians. We love being in a band together. But it also, it takes a toll. I mean, last year, 2023 was a big year. We played so much. A lot of big things happened. I had to take an entire month off at the end of summer to just like sleep, because of how much of a toll it took on my system to try to keep up with it all. But I feel like we're always learning how to have healthier boundaries, and we have therapy. We both do that we have a lot of support, which really helps. But definitely for me, music is the only thing I'm interested in at all. Everything else, I'm like, why would you even do that? I love songwriting and I just love playing music and I love being in a band, and it's the only thing I think about. So I do think that my autism actually is a superpower a little bit. And also when I'm writing a song, I think that my autism helps because I kind of look at the song almost as a puzzle or like a combination. And so my mind will literally try 1,000 combinations until I feel like I found the absolute right one. So yeah, wow. It does help too.
Yeah. I wanted to make sure we got the names of the people coming to play with you and what they play. So who is Glitterfox that's going to come to Vashon? Who's in the band?
Blaine Heinonen is our drummer, and Eric Stalker is our bass player.
Mm-hmm.
Andrea Walker is our lead guitarist and songwriter, and Solange Gola, that's me, I'm the lead singer.
Sweet. So what can people expect for your show over here on Vashon?
Man, a lot of energy. I mean, we're very spirited performers.
Quite spirited.
And when the four of us are playing music together, you can feel and see A, how much we love each other as people, but then B, how much we love playing music together. So just a lot of fun, a lot of energy. And then also our set list, there's songs you're going to dance to. We also, there's such a strong emotional current that runs through every single song that we write and perform. And so, I don't know, I hope that it like touches people in the heart as well.
Right, so, in the heart.
Yeah. So it's like, not only are you going to dance and move, but like it's going to touch you. Like you're going to go away from it feeling something.
Great. And have you ever been to Vashon Island before?
Yes.
Yes.
You have. Okay. So this isn't your first go on Vashon.
It'll be my second. So it's like practically my first.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I haven't been to Vashon Island in like, gosh, probably 20 years.
Thank you so much for hanging out and talking. This has been great. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks. It's so nice to meet you. Thanks for reaching out about doing this interview. It's been a lot of fun.
Thank you.
See you soon.
Sounds good.
Right. See you. Thanks, y'all. See ya. to see photos of Glitterfox and get links to the bands and events mentioned, check out the show notes on voiceofvashon.org. This episode was written, produced, hosted, and edited by me, Tara Morgan. Special thanks to the Voice of Vashon team and Deborah Heesch, music promoter. Connect with us on Instagram and Facebook at Voice of Vashon.